This time yesterday on the show, I read out a statement on behalf of Anita Frawley and Danny's beautiful three daughters, Keely, Danielle, and Chelsea. And it spoke about Spud's decision at the time to make some changes to his treatment of mental health. And I want this show to be, and I want this station to be an open forum for anything like this. Anytime that anyone feels that they need to talk, we are your friends here at SEN. That's what makes this station so great and has made it so great for so many years, is that we are your friends. Yes, we agree on things, and yes, we'll disagree on some things, and we'll have a fight about a few things, but we're your mates at the end of the day, and you're our mates as well. And I want this show in particular, anytime that we can, to shine a light on mental health, to make sure that we do it in the right way as well. So it takes me to a conversation that I had with Trent Mason-Helder last night from SEN Racing, and also does a fantastic job producing this show day in and day out. And Trent has been kind enough and brave enough in many ways to jump behind the mic and talk a little bit about his own journey regarding mental health. Trent, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Not a problem, Jack.
Let's talk about the statement yesterday. We don't need to go into the full details of it. But it explored, and Anita explored, the fact that Spud had, as I say, made changes to his mental health and had come off his medication, and he felt that that was the right thing to do. And it resonated with you and your own personal journey.
Yeah, it did. When I was reading the statement, it really struck a chord with me. It was almost like I was reading part of my own journey. I've diarised a lot of my mental health journey, and reading the words bulletproof and invincible and things like that, it was just really struck a chord with me there two times. So I was diagnosed with depression in 2011, the early part of 2011, and twice, I'm still taking medication to this day, and still have my challenges. Twice during that time, I've tried to come off my medication by my own choice.
Yep.
And just the wrong thing to do. It got to a point, I suppose, the first time I was living in Dubai, and I had no support network around me, but I was loving my work, loved living overseas with my beautiful wife, who's just been enormous throughout this whole journey. And I just, I suppose, felt like I'm in a really good spot here. Let's just have a go and see. I want to be normal again. I don't want to live every day having to take a tablet. And that sounds really silly, because all it is a little pill. Mm. That's all I have to take.
But it's so much more than that, isn't it?
It's the whole, yeah, the thing around it, and the whole thing that comes with it. So I made that decision, and it was just terrible. Within a couple of weeks, I went downhill, days where I just couldn't even leave my room, couldn't get up to go to work. But there are also times where I could put the cape on and go to work and function normally and go to press conferences and interview, you know, Tiger Woods and Roger Federer, and people would have no idea. The people at my work had absolutely no idea that I had depression, because I didn't tell anyone. And then earlier this year, I did a similar thing and just thought, I'm going really well. How about lesson learned from last time, rather than just try and come off cold turkey, I'll just wean my way off and reduce my dose. And rather than taking a tablet every day, I'll take it every second day, and then every third day, and then maybe twice a week. And I thought that was all going okay. And then work got really busy for me, and I suffer from severe anxiety. And when I've got a lot on my plate, things start to get really messy for me. And that's what happened, and I just could not cope. And I just spiraled out of control, and I was an absolute mess.
So every case is different, and we're not going to sit here and preach the good word and say that every person should be medicated and whatnot. There are professionals that will give you this advice, but it was your story in particular that you wanted to share. What does medication and regular treatment do for you? What does it allow you to do?
As you say, every case is different, and it's not with mental health, it's not a one-size-fits-all. So for those experiencing it, I would encourage you to seek professionals and find a solution that works for you. It might mean you have to go and see three different psychologists and find one that you really connect with. I know a lot of people that I speak to in this space have had to go through that. Fortunately for me, the first one I went to, he was just an absolute godsend for me, and I still connect with him, not as often as I should, and I need to make time to do that. But find what works for you, and for me, that includes things like exercise. Exercise is so important for your mental health, watching how much alcohol you drink. And my psychologist said some really basic things to me that I just took for granted. If you take the dog for a walk, walk with purpose. Don't just go through the motions and walk the dog. Stop and smell the roses. It's an old cliche, but it actually makes sense. Actually stop and enjoy your life. Live your bloody life.
Spud used to talk about that.
Don't just walk through life. Actually stop and smell the rose and think, bloody hell, what a good day this is today. I'm here walking my dog, who I absolutely adore. Look, it's the sun's out, the grass smells beautiful, spring's in the air, those sorts of things. If you're having a nice glass of red, stop and smell it and drink it and really enjoy it. Don't just have another glass of wine. These sort of things that are just so basic that you just take for granted and you just float through life. I floated through life for so bloody long and I didn't even realise it. You know, I was overweight. Every weekend I'd used to binge drink with my mates and drink far too much, and I would gamble, and I didn't care because I didn't care what happened to my life.
Yep.
I didn't know it at the time, but had I been hit by a train, I couldn't have cared less. I hated myself, absolutely hated myself and my life. And I didn't recognize any of this, and I hid it all so well. The day I came clean, for want of a better term, or, you know, I say is one of the best days in my life, I was driving to work at a different organization on the Eastern Freeway at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I started bawling my eyes out in the car, uncontrollably sobbing, just could not stop crying. Nothing had happened. Yep. There wasn't an incident that set me off. And I had to pull over because I couldn't see. And I called my mum. I think I tried calling my wife and she was at work. She's a teacher. So I called my mum and she said, oh, what's wrong? What's wrong? You know, have you had an accident? And I just unloaded all this stuff off my chest. And I know I'm going a bit around in circles here, but that was the straw that broke the camel's back for me. And that was the catalyst. And I went around to her. She said, you're not going to work. Come around and we'll sit down and we'll go through some stuff. I went and sat down with my mum and dad and spoke for 3 hours and unloaded a whole lot of baggage that I'd been carrying for about 15 years.
And then what happened after that?
So then I made the decision that I needed, obviously, to seek help and went and saw my GP, got a referral to see a psychologist, got on medication, and that took a while to kick in and start working, but it made a difference after a couple of weeks. And then we came up with a get well plan, and I still go by a lot of those things. I started meditating, which I thought was a load of crap, to be honest, and I started doing it, and I love it. It's so powerful and so good, and it works for me. And I started doing those things like regular exercise and making sure I was eating well and, walking the dog and stopping to smell the roses and all those sorts of things, enjoying time with my beautiful wife, who, as I said, has just been enormous, going and spending time with my family, who I adore, and really valuing and treasuring that time, these sorts of things that have become so important for me. And I need those things in my life now, because if I don't have those, that's when I start to really struggle.
I don't want to relate this back to Spud specifically, because this is your story, Trent, but I had 18 months of doing No Man Should Ever Walk Alone with Spud and had a lot of conversations with him and experts in their fields. Spud used to always talk about the term the treadmill of life. Yep. And a lot of what you were just saying, he resonated with too, where life gets in the way of actually looking after yourself.
Yep. Absolutely.
Can you identify with that?
We're trained. Like, we just get into a cycle. Get up, go to work, come home, pay the bills, cook dinner, sit on, the couch and watch TV, go and play a game of sport or go to the footy for the weekend. But is that what you really want to be? Does anyone really stop and think, what do I want to do and how do I want to live my best life? We only get one shot at it. Let's really value it and make sure we make it our best life that we can really live. And I know a lot of people probably out there thinking, what's this guy talking about? It's very airy, fairy and fluffy, but I really believe that to be true. And it's something that I really, and often I lose sight of it, and it'll take my wife to say, hey, how are you going? I've noticed a few things here. Mm. How are you really going? And I'll think, yeah, you're right. I've dropped the ball a bit here. And that's what I need to get me back on track.
So how important then is that support network?
Oh, it's unbelievable. And this is where I think people perhaps judge too quickly for, there's a lot of people out there that are far less fortunate than I, that don't have my family.
Take your time.
My wife and my family have been unbelievably enormous, and my mates and just their understanding and unconditional love and support. But there's a lot of people out there that just don't have that.
Mm.
So what do they do? What do they do? They're in this rut, this hellhole, and people wonder why these people are using drugs and drinking and that. They're doing a lot of it. They're doing it to suppress the pain because it just hurts so bloody much.
Mm.
Fortunately for me, I can afford to go and see a really good psychologist. I've got my mum and dad. My dad was calling me at 3 o'clock in the morning a lot of nights because I couldn't sleep. I didn't sleep for 4 weeks straight, 4 weeks on the couch. And I'm just sitting on the couch doing head miles, thinking about all the things that I've done wrong in my life and how did I get to this and everything. And my dad's calling me, just saying, mate, I'll come over. Just stay on the phone with me.
Yep.
I don't have any answers for you. I wish I could help you. It's breaking my heart, but I can at least talk to you.
So you talk about appreciating things now, Trent, and taking that time to appreciate the things. How much more do you appreciate just even the little things in life now?
Oh, mate, it changes your whole perspective on things. And I've got a beautiful young son now who I just absolutely adore and love spending every day with him. And, you know, there's times where I think, oh, my God, I've got so much on at work or whatever it is. And you just think, what's really important in your life? And it's, you know, just picking up the phone and FaceTiming my son. If I'm under the pump at work, just go outside for 10 minutes, get on the phone and FaceTime him, and he'll change things, you know, at the drop of a hat. Just having a chat to him and these sort of things, being able to go to the farmer's market on a Sunday morning with my wife and my son. Simple things like that are just unreal for me, and I just love it, absolutely love it.
Can you resonate with people when they say that the first step is the hardest?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, because it took me far too long, and I was probably a bit naive, and we've come such a long way since, you know, I was diagnosed in 2011 through places like Beyond Blue and Pucker Up and Wayne Schwartz and these sort of people who are absolute champions and have championed the cause. But it is hard because you want to say, you're probably thinking, well, a lot of it is around, well, everyone's got their issues and why am I worse off than anyone else? But don't be afraid to put your hand up and reach out. And anyone who follows me on social media will know that I always champion that cause. There's, however irrelevant or trivial you think it is, please ask for help. Talk to someone. You do not have to go through this alone. You can't go through it alone. Mate, there's so many. It is so frustrating and so challenging and confusing. I used to have my wife ask me questions and that and say, well, what's really wrong and why are you being like this and everything? And she couldn't understand because I didn't know. I didn't know myself. Yeah. I couldn't articulate an answer. I was so frightened and scared, but I just knew my world was coming crashing down and I didn't know how to articulate that to the people that really cared about me. So it's bloody frightening, I can tell you.
And we urge you to seek the professional help in any way, shape or form that you can. Trent, I know there's one particular conversation that resonated with you a lot, and that was last week, Adam Treloar on this show. I was on breakfast for a couple of days while Gaz was taking some time and Sam Hargraves was in the chair. Adam Treloar was an ambassador and is an ambassador for Are You OK Day. This was him on this very show last week.
I'd really showed no signs of, I suppose, my internal battle that I was going through, and a lot of that was due to me hiding that and the stigma that comes with it and not wanting to be seen as someone who's, I suppose, weak, soft, and, you know, he's lucky to be doing what he's doing. What's the point of sulking and complaining and whatnot? And
yeah.
That's the questions that go through your head when you know that you're struggling, but you don't really want to necessarily come out and say anything because it's intimidating, it's scary. People are going to judge you and whatnot. So, you know, with the way things panned out, I thought, you know, there was a good platform for me to really talk about my struggles, and that was through the Collingwood Doco, and then obviously, you know, the last real couple of months that's been out that I've been able to talk about it. But in terms of when I did initially speak about my own struggles with the people closest to me, yeah, the best thing was coming out and talking. That was the best thing. And I truly believe if you are struggling, no matter what you're doing, who you are, whether you're an elite athlete or whatever you do, the first step is always going to someone and to someone important. And that's what I did. I went to someone extremely important to me in my partner, Kimmy, and one of my close friends and psychologist, Jackie. I went straight to them, told them the absolute truth. It was about... It would have been about 8-9 years worth of struggles that I'd been going through, letting it all out in one big hit because I'd never really spoken to anyone about it.
Sound familiar?
Yep. I was listening to that when he was in here the other day and just thinking, oh, it's just so true. And there's so many stories out there that are – and it just goes to show you, like, I've never done anything of significance on a sporting field. I still play hack basketball twice a week, but – now, this is an elite sportsman, one of the best footballers in the country. Now it's me telling my story. If it's not me, it's a doctor, it's a nurse, it's a lawyer. It doesn't matter. It does not discriminate this illness, but we all need help, and it doesn't take much to care and be kind. I think we all have a responsibility to look after each other because life can be bloody tough at times, and it's not always mental illness. It might be something else, but let's just wrap our hands around arms around each other and protect each other. I want to thank Gary Lyon and Tim Watson as well for the conversation they had on Friday morning when Gaz came back to work. They really got the ball rolling in this space on this station and had a lot of people sort of calling in and texting in. And there was one guy in particular, and his name's Neville, and I'm sure he won't mind me saying his name. He actually sent a message, words to the effect, I'm paraphrasing a bit here, but I'm really doing it tough at the moment. Just don't really know what to do or where to turn to. So I called Julia, the assistant producer of the show, and said, can you give me his number? It was a day off for me.
Which you didn't have to do, by the way. But it's great that you have. Yeah.
This,
I know you're not trying to be a hero, but yeah.
Got his number, gave him a call, and he was just blown away by the fact that someone had taken the time to call him. I said, mate, it's not a big deal. I just want to make sure that you're doing okay. Mm. Like, it's 5 minutes out of my day. And he just needed a bit of a push, a bit of impetus to where do I turn, what do I do? And then having a conversation with him throughout the day, he said, I've already unloaded a lot of stuff on someone I can confide in, and I feel so much better for the conversation that the boys had this morning and for you, mate, taking the time to call me. So just little things like that, just maybe stop and think, can I help someone? If you're not sure if someone's okay, just ask him the question. And if you're still not sure, ask him again. And if you're still not sure, ask him again. And what are you going to do if they say, no, I'm not? Is it going to become too hard, or are you going to say, well, I'm here to help. I don't have the answers. And you don't have to have the answers, but just wrap your arms around them and say, mate, I'm going to support you. We're going to get through this together. I don't even know where to start, but we can do this together and I'm going to help you.
Trent, I applaud you. I really do. We've been working together for a few months now and you do a brilliant job, and I love working with you each and every day, but this was something that you really wanted to do, and it takes an incredible amount of bravery to do it. So thank you. Just do me a favour, because this text service that we have here can often be a brutal one. It's not right now. Go and read it. Do me a favour and just go and spend 10 minutes and read all of the support you're getting. So well done.
Thank you, mate.
And thank you to everyone as well. As I say, this show will be one that when the conversation needs to be had, I won't shy away from it. We will have the conversation because it's important and we're all in it together. It's as simple as that. And of course, as always, I urge you to jump online, grab the details for Lifeline. You can give them a call as well if you need to on 131114, or Pucker Up, Beyond Blue, some outstanding organisations doing some brilliant work. And it's a conversation that on this show, we won't shy away from, and we won't shy away from as a station. So thank you for all of your texts.